this is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hey, everybody, welcome back, and welcome back to you, too, Jason.
Dude, I got here, I thought I was dressing like you for a podcast. You're all dressed up, man.
This is like the fourth thing I've done today.
What do you mean, welcome back to me? What are you talking about?
You weren't with us last week. You were in Illinois.
Oh, yeah, I was in, outside Chicago. Everyone says, oh, yeah, you know, I was covering the Democrats in Chicago when they broke quorum and left the state. But everyone said, oh, you know, it's a great assignment, Chicago.
You're like, I was in a hotel, and I would go to a news conference, I would do some interviews, and then I go back to a hotel, and I would edit, and yeah.
We were in St. Charles, and it is, if you know St. Charles, I know St. Charles, Missouri, but I didn't know Illinois. It is like an hour west of Chicago.
And not the same.
Not even close. I mean, we're out in the rural area. I mean, there are fields all around us, warehouses around us, and things like that.
At least you got to relax.
At the Hampton Inn, yeah, in St. Charles, it was the nicest hotel there, and it was a nice place.
Well, I'm glad you got a break, because I was doing your work last week, as well as mine.
Here's what I crack up. Anytime I go out of town for any politics thing related, you get a vacation. You get a solid week off, and I'm like, you know what? I have plenty of downtime in Illinois.
But it doesn't work that way.
I'm going to make Wheeler do some stuff this week.
It doesn't work that way. And the funny thing is, when you leave...
It doesn't work that way. Do you hear this, Daryl?
When you leave, they give me your workload. But when I'm out for vacation, you don't get my workload. Oh, it's a weird thing. No. It's weird how it's just this one-way street all the time.
If you could see my calendar here, how many 4 o'clock news... cast I have to anchor.
We could spend this entire episode just carping about
bickering,
this stuff
back and forth,
which is what this is about,
right?
So but it's a different kind of bickering.
Well, it's trying to solve the bickering, so maybe we'll have some help here in just a moment.
We need it.
So I ran across this topic. It just kind of landed in my lap. It just fell in my lap. So one of our earliest episodes ever, I don't know if you remember this.
I do remember this.
It was a tiny little group. It was a guy up in Collin County, and this was after the 2016 election?
2016.
Yeah. Sometime.
No, it was after the 2020.
Whenever it was. He wanted to bring both sides together. He's like, nah, this is not us. This is not Americans. We should be trying to figure out ways to come together instead of being, divided. And we went up there and did that podcast, and it was an interesting concept. And I hadn't really heard much more from it because it seems like things have gotten further divided since then.
Yeah.
And then
the work got harder.
Well, the work got a lot harder. But fast forward to today, and there is a group that is called the Builders Movement, the Builders Initiative. And they have actually had success in Tennessee. We'll talk about in a moment. In Wisconsin, we'll talk about in a moment. And now they're coming to Texas. And here's what's different about the first episode we did. You've got a big name behind this, and this big name, Daniel Lubetzky. He's the founder of the Kind Bar, Kind Snacks. Huge philanthropist. He's on ABC Shark Tank.
He took
Mark Cuban's place. He's a regular fill-in and took Mark Cuban's place when Mark Cuban left this season. But he's behind this now. And what he's done, he's gotten a lot of huge names behind him. Names like Karl Rove on the right, Mark Cuban, middle left maybe.
Yeah.
And he's got 250 names behind him. And so we got a chance to talk to Daniel about why he decided to do this, the purpose behind it. And here's what I didn't realize. I didn't know enough about Daniel's story until I watched a TED Talk. And he has a huge personal motivation to launch this Builders Initiative. So let's start this episode with our conversation with Daniel, and then we're going to come back out and talk about the success they've already had. Here's Daniel Lubetzky.
And when you say our conversation, your conversation with him, because you disappointed him and showed up alone.
Yeah, and you know what? And he was excited to talk to you.
I know he was.
And almost canceled the entire interview because you weren't there.
I can imagine.
Here's Daniel. Hey, Daniel, Jason in Texas. How are you?
Hi, Jason. How are you?
I am well. I know you are with family this week, so we'll make the most of your time and knock this out really fast here. Do about 10 minutes, if that's okay, sir.
And Jason, are we doing this just with you or also with the other Jason? Because I prepared when I said that this Jason and Jason was going to meet you both and say, which of you guys is Jason? That's going to be such a funny joke, and I don't get to tell it now.
You can still tell the joke because the other Jason, he wakes up late. That's the thing you need to know about the other Jason. So I'm the guy that gets up early, and as you know, the early bird gets a worm, so that's why I get the big interview with you.
Sure.
All right. People obviously know you from Kind Snacks, from your philanthropy, from Shark Tank, but this most recent project, the Builders Movement, really caught our attention here. And here's what struck me when I first heard about this.
you've gotten together 250 thought leaders, and these people range all across the spectrum of politics, from Karl Rove to Mark Cuban, and these people have made a name for themselves being in their own corners. How did you convince them, hey, let's come to the middle and meet here and see if we can bring other people with us?
Yeah, Karl asked me the same question, and that the answer is sincerity of purpose and the seriousness of our times, right? Everybody we talk to, they have their own thing going on and their own vision, but they also recognize that there's something broken here, and unless all of us join together and empower the citizens, it's going to get worse. But if we actually are able to channel what our founding fathers taught us, like the power of civic participation, and get all Texans to participate, we're actually going to be able to solve problems rather than tear each other apart.
But as somebody who covers politics, though, Daniel, most politicians, not all of them, but most, as you well know, are, you know, they've been to primary voters and they've been to donors. How do you let those politicians know, listen, you know, there are a bunch of folks in the middle, myself included, who also want their attention? How do you take their attention away from the donors?
It is very hard, because you're 100% right. Politicians are not evil. They're not bad. They're just following the incentive structure. And the incentive is to listen to the people that are paying attention and engaged. And it tends to be that people that have the most extremist passions are the ones that are sending the money, are the ones that are participating in the primaries. So we can't be complaining 365 days a year if we only vote one time every 4 years. We have to stay more active. And through builders, we're going to empower citizens to figure out small ways that in their communities they can actually show up and then demand that accountability and empower politicians. And then we're going to just create the incentive structure so politicians are actually solving problems by making sure they understand that we have the votes, that we have the money, that we have the mobilization, and that we're all, as fellow citizens, going to be looking and evaluating, are there actually passing legislation that's actually solving our problems, or are there just burning down the house in either direction? And there's a lot of opportunity for both Democrats and Republicans to listen to the will of the people and to solve the problems. By the way, there's some good stuff going on. And if we looked at the last legislature, and there were a bunch of areas where they actually solved problems and did some really, really constructive work. And the media too needs to pay attention to that. And it's an incentive structure. If all the media does is tell the story of the extremists and they're getting a disproportionate media attention, then the extremists are going to continue screaming louder and louder and louder to hijack the process. What we need to do is demand accountability, not just from the politicians, but from the media and from ourselves. Every one of us needs to do the work. There's no shortcuts to that.
I want to talk about your motivation for this, though. I saw a TED Talk you did last year in Vancouver, BC. I think it was last April of 24. And in this, you really pulled the curtain back on why you do this civic engagement. Can you talk a little about this? Your dad lived in Lithuania. He was a Holocaust survivor, and it was a really personal story you shared in the TED Talk. And we can't play the entire thing in this episode, but if you know, for our listeners, I really encourage you to go, you know, search up Daniel Lubetzky and TED Talk and listen to this. But since you were a kid, you said you wanted to prevent what your dad went through, what the Holocaust survivors experienced. You wanted to prevent that from happening again. Can you share this with us?
I think the story that you're alluding to, Jason, I wouldn't have the strength to talk about it for many, many years. And when my dad was around 10 or 11 years old, the superintendent in the building where they lived in Kovno, Lithuania, said the war had started and there was not enough food to go around. He said, hey, are you hungry? Do you want to eat something? And my dad said, yes. And said, here, I'll show you where there's some food. He walked them down to the basement of the building and he pointed to a dead body. And he said, yeah, that's a Jew. You can cut a piece of him and eat him. And my dad was a little kid. And 6 months or a year later, the paramilitary forces rounded up all the Jewish families. And this superintendent walked around pointing all the Jewish families. There were 16 families in that building. And they had them all killed. And then there's a turn for our family. And the soldiers went up. They probably raped my grandmother. My dad talks about that in some of his interviews. But as a kid, he didn't really quite understand what was going on. And then eventually they walked them downstairs where they were going to shoot them. And right before they did, the superintendent whispered something into the ears of the head of the paramilitary forces, and they left. And this superintendent turned to my grandfather and said, "You know what, Mr. Lubetsky, I just spared your family because you always were kind to me. And when you were walking down the stairs, you always looked at my eyes, you always shook my hand, you always treated me with respect, and you always gave me my bottle of vodka or schnapps for the holidays. But leave now before I change my mind." And that night, my family had to pack their bags and go to the Kovno ghetto. And then eventually they were sent to a concentration camp, had a horrible time, but they survived. And what I talk about in the TED Talk is how difficult for me it is to accept that I exist here because of the kindness of a person that was not kind. I mean, this guy was not a good human being. He got 16 other families assassinated. He told my dad that cruel joke. He was not a good person, but because he was treated with respect, my grandfather, he managed to see my grandfather's and my family's humanity and spare them. And that thought both haunts me and also gives me hope that you always can build bridges. You never should give up on humanity, because in those darkest of times, people manage to rise up and see above themselves. I think that behooves us to understand that. By the way, we're not living through anything remotely like that in the United States or in Texas, but we do need to understand that if we take each other for granted, things are going to get worse and worse and worse. If we stop, like with social media, everybody just gets fed what they want to hear, so they assume that the other side is evil. Cable news tend to be divisive. Special interests tend to divide us. Foreign governments are trying to divide us and tear us against each other. There's just so many incentives for more extremism, for more dehumanization, for more hate. And Texans, by the way, you ask why we're doing this in Texas. Texans are like, you know, the salt of the earth. They are people that are here to help one another. I immigrated from Mexico when I was 16, and I discovered the kindness of the Texan heart, like how much we're there. We're good human beings. Both conservatives and progressives want to help those left behind, want to help the most vulnerable. There's just such a tender heart in Texans. It's live and let live, but also help those left behind. And so we need to show the example to the rest of Texas. We need to show the example to the rest of the world. We need to build bridges and become builders rather than destroyers, and build together rather than tear each other apart.
You said that what worries you is that many people will hear the story and they'll think the builders movement is the right track, but they'll do nothing. And after you said that, I'm like, well, you know, that resonates, because I think that's where a lot of America is right now. People don't realize that, you know, the folks in the corners, they aren't the majority. The folks in the middle are the majority. How do you get people off the sofa to actually do something once they find out about this?
Well, what tends to happen, Jason, is that the people that are not extremists, they're too busy to be dividing, right? They're too busy to be tearing each other apart. So they just mind their own lives, which would be good, except it creates a vacuum that gets filled by the extremists. And part of the problem is it's hard to give people small things to do that they can feel not just the meaning, but recognize the power that they have and the responsibility that comes to the power. That's what Builders is going to do. We're going to give everybody small things they can do to seize back the agenda that are not going to take away from their time with their family, that are small things we can all do to start becoming builders rather than destroyers. And it starts with just join us, follow us on social media, or give us your email. Go to buildersmovement.com/TX. Just sign up. Give us your email on your mobile, or go on BuildersTX on Instagram or any of your favorite social media and start following, learning. In our channels, we're not telling you what to think. We're equipping you with tools on how to think, how to become a builder. It's not just going to help you build a better Texas and a better country. It's also going to help you build better companies, better build bridges. When I created Kind, I used the builder's mindset of curiosity, compassion, creativity, and courage to build an iconic brand. And using a builder's toolkit is going to help you advancing your career. It's going to help you in so many ways. We need to bring back what's made America such an incredible entrepreneurial system by solving problems together, by learning how to be entrepreneurial and actually take our lives back. So joining builders is going to help you in your personal life and in helping Texas run best.
Good stuff, man. I love the idea. I love that you guys have already implemented it in a few states and you have a good track record there. So congratulations on all your business success, your entrepreneurial success, and your civic engagement success too, because I don't think enough folks are doing this, but the fact that you got folks together is already a big step, I think. So congrats, and I really appreciate the time. I'll tell the other Jason you said hello.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot.
So Daniel said to tell you hello.
He did.
He was disappointed you couldn't show up for the interview, but
and it's all in good fun. It's in good fun, but you can tell he really was disappointed if you listen closely.
Yeah, you could tell from his tone. Yeah,
and I don't blame him.
So let's bring in our guest who works with Daniel. It's Tori Larned. She is a senior communications manager from the Builders Movement. You drove her from Austin to Dallas, so thanks for that, and thanks for arranging all this too. When I said earlier, Jason, the podcast landed in my lap. Tori called, and I had her in my phone from a previous interaction we'd had. And she said, hey, we have this new initiative we're bringing to Texas, and it's pretty wild.
You were the genesis of this then.
Yeah, I'm good at making things land in people's laps. It's a skill of mine, however you want to phrase it.
It worked because we're here and we're talking about this, and I think it's a fascinating concept.
Yeah.
Again, as Jason started out with this, though, you know, others have kind of poked around in this and tried a little bit, and then it seemed like it just kind of fizzled out. We didn't hear anything else about it. What do you think is going to make this one different? What has made it different already?
I think a few things are going to make it different. One, with having Daniel at the helm, he approaches everything we do, and by extension, we approach everything we do with a very entrepreneurial startup mindset.
To politics.
That's right. How can we be innovative and create tools that consumers want and to make them feel incentivized to leverage what we're building? And so I think that's really important. We have to meet people in the technological world we're at today. So whether we're growing on social media, we've grown to about 4 million followers across our channels, helping people change mindsets from what to think versus to how to think, you know, giving more tools to think constructively across differences and more flexibly. But also in our programs, how do we leverage technology to reach the masses and make it very, very accessible to everyday people? You know, people wake up in the morning and most of them are thinking about, what am I going to have for breakfast? How am I going to get my kids ready for school, you know, or their work day ahead?
How am I going to get through this day?
Get through this day? And the extremists in this world wake up and say, how am I going to advance my agenda? And that's a really hard thing to combat. So we're making sure we create easily accessible tools to get everyone from the left or right, the parents, the students in school, people in rural Texas, urban Texas, all involved in this thing we call democracy a little bit easier. And then the second thing I would say is, to Jason's point, except 350, my friend, I'm gonna toot our own horn there.
Wow.
300 diverse partners across political spectrum. These are the big name people behind this that Jason was talking about, including those people here in Texas, Joe Lonsdale, Amy Robbins, you know, people who are in politics still, you know. Anna Ramon is one of our partners who leads a progressive agency that helps elect, you know, women into office. And so all across the spectrum, we're bringing leaders, community leaders, national leaders to the conversation who want to be builders. They all have their very different beliefs, but they're all willing to put the will of the people first and the builders movement first to help give voice to people.
Yeah, so. And that's remarkable. Before we get too far down here, though, we didn't
say where we were or what we're drinking.
And we're at White Rock Brewing Company on the west side of downtown Dallas.
It is between, it's just on the other side of the river from downtown Dallas, and it's between the two big bridges, the two big Calatrava bridges, those white bridges. You know the names of them, right?
We've got the Margaret Hill.
What is this on the freeway bridge?
The Margaret McDermott. They're both Margaret
McDermott bridge. Yeah, but you do traffic sometimes, so you know this stuff.
I just know a lot. A lot of things that really don't matter.
But
I know
what are
a lot
you having here before we continue on?
I don't know. You ordered this. It's this peach is, something.
He asked, what are the beers that we like here? I said, well, I'll have a lighter beer. So I'm having the Big Thicket Ale.
Do you know where the Big Thicket is?
I do. It's in South Texas.
Have you been there? No, it's not in South Texas.
I don't know. Where is it, dude?
It's East Texas.
East Texas?
The Big Thicket. It's like the Piney Woods, Big Thicket.
So
been there many times.
Of course you have. I told him that you want a fruity beer, so you have a peach rose? Is that what it is?
I don't think it's a rose. I think it's something
cloudy.
Else. Peach hibiscus.
It's
a cloudy beer.
And Tori, you're having, you could have brought this up with you.
Well, look, Austin in classic cider, right? fashion, we're talking about Texas and the capital, so I thought I'd bring an Austin East Cider to this conversation.
They do good work there.
And in classic fashion, I Dallas's roads are... terrible. We're not here to talk about that today.
The
signs or potholes.
Both.
I think that the confusion of the highways is so confusing it confuses Google Maps too, and the signs never match up. And I was coming on my way here, and thinking I'm taking a road, and it's very much open. It's on the highway. It's very much open. I pull off into a ditch, and I said, "Well, this road literally led to nowhere," and I had to back up on the highway and go straight. And I'm very good with directions.
Oh,
I pride myself on it. So that is not a me thing. That is a Dallas. You have a road that leads to nowhere that you might want to address.
That's another episode.
Exactly.
You mentioned this a moment ago, and earlier in the episode, Daniel talked about it too. And that is the builders movement doesn't talk about. What you should think, but it gives you tools how to think. Explain those, because people might be listening to this and say, automatically you're going to be taking a side on this. What are the tools that you provide to people?
We want people to be builders, and by definition, that is a flexible thinker and a constructive problem solver who respects the dignity of all people, and they reject things like dehumanization and extremist absolutist thinking. And so all of our tools are kind of founded in that. You can have your own individualized personal beliefs, but how do we bring those to the table in a constructive way that's going to result in solutions? So all of our tools are formed around that. On social media, we're capturing content and telling the stories of everyday Americans that captures what it means to be a builder, and showing people that there's a lot more common ground that exists across issues, from education to healthcare to public safety, that we agree upon. And unfortunately, the loudest voices often dominate the attention. Right. So helping them see through that. We also have a newsletter, if you want to sign up for it, early plug, builderstx.org, but that gives people the tools to see, to break down issues in today's news with a little bit more nuance, and not this left versus right approach, but a more constructive approach that helps people see the issue a little bit more clearly and get them out of their echo chamber. On social media, we often get the algorithm wants us to feed to stay on and to engage more, so they're going to feed us things we like. And that's not always
angry or scared.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's often, and so we're breaking people beyond that and trying to give them different perspectives so they see the whole picture. And ultimately, it helps people realize the other side is not as mean, dangerous, or a threat as they may seem, right? Majority of us are everyday people who want to take care of their families, who want rule of law and accountability in their government. It's just our approach to get there might be a little different, and that's where the conversation should start.
No, I hear this, and I think of some people I know, and I just think, that's never going to work, because you hear them and they're like, the other side, they're evil. I hate them. I hate them so much. I just want to annihilate them, blah, 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 blah. And they don't want to hear anything beyond that. They don't want to hear that, hey, that person is a person and they're redeemable and, whatever. Or you guys can disagree on a lot of things, but maybe you'll agree on some issues. They don't want to hear that. So it sounds like it's a daunting task to get people together in a room. And, at first blush, I would go, that's never going to work. But it's worked. You guys have actually done this in some places.
We have done it in to places, and we're bringing it to Texas. We've also seen it online. You look in our, we've built up a really strong community. You look in our comment section, and people have become, you know, builders, warriors, and are bringing, self-modulating those conversations to try to bring constructive viewpoints to what's happening.
And
so, in the comment sections, if you go and read them. And so people are really receptive to what's happening. And I think when, at least for myself, when I have conversations in everyday community with friends and family, they're not always easy, but for the most part, there's a lot of common ground that can be found. Or, but social media is a different beast. It's easy to live behind a keyboard to criticize or to fear, because you're not seeing or hearing other people's stories or what influences how they believe. And so we just encourage people to show up to a conversation, not ready for battle, but ready for understanding, curiosity, compassion, and courage is what we would say.
Jason, take note of this.
To write this all down.
I'll sign you both up for the newsletter.
Please.
Don't worry.
Exactly. I'll give you his personal address as well, so you can have them both mailboxes. Talk about Tennessee, though. You guys launched this in Tennessee, and I think Jackson, Tennessee. Is that right?
Well, we held it a little bit outside of Nashville in a town called Franklin. But people came from all over the state, including we had one citizen at the table from Jackson, Tennessee.
But you had success there. And explain what how the group got together, what issues the group talked about, and what happened to the ideas that they cultivated from that.
So this program, we started as a media organization. You know, we wanted to just change culture and politics through media. And through all of that, we were getting a lot of feedback, but people were hungry for real solutions, not just conversation. I think people are pretty burnt out from conversation.
So when you followed their lead, then they wanted to go further.
Correct. Yeah. Everything we do is founded in the people. This is not builders leading the way. This is not Daniel or myself leading the way or any of our partners leading the way. We're taking our beats from everyday people across the aisle, and they're building this, and we're kind of just the workhorses to make it happen. So they wanted to see more civic programs that could really start solving problems in communities, and that's where this program Citizen Solutions came to life. It brings people across the political spectrum and from different parts of a state together to solve a pressing issue in their community. The first issue we tackled was gun rights and safety in Tennessee following the Covenant School shooting.
Wow, you dived right in then. That's a biggie.
We dove right in, and we dove in at the same time that a special session, a pretty kind of chaotic, controversial special session was happening on public safety following that shooting in Tennessee. So, you know, the lawmakers were working at the Capitol, and just, 20 miles down the road in Franklin, these citizens convened to have a conversation on their own and see what kind of solutions they could come up with.
Across the
political spectrum. You know, we had a firearms instructor from rural Tennessee, East Tennessee, who is a self-proclaimed Second Amendment absolutist, a veteran who grew up hunting as a means of survival for his family, and who also teaches mental health prevention for suicide prevention veterans. And all the way to the other side of the aisle, a teacher from Jackson, Tennessee, who's lost multiple students to gun violence, everyday gun violence. This isn't just, you know, a sporadic school shooting. This is the real reality for her community. And another woman from, or I say woman, but she's fresh into college, and she's from Memphis and lost her best friend to gun violence in high school. And everywhere in between, just kind of filling these different life experiences and lived experiences to bring to the table on this issue. And over the course of 3 days, we challenged them to break down barriers, get to know one another and their backgrounds and where they come from and what informs their beliefs, and ultimately come up with solutions that they could all sign their name behind. Of course, we brought trained facilitators to this conversation to guide them through it. Convergence was very helpful on that front. And together in 3 days, they created 8 proposals on this issue, from more education, firearm safety education in schools and communities, to things that are a little bit more polarizing, like temporarily removing a firearm for people who are at risk of harming themselves or others. But the important thing there, people like to attach it to a red flag law, which is really harmful, because that they had kind of in their conversation realized that those terms don't really have a unified definition. And when you define it that way, it becomes very polarized. So if you look at the proposal online, you'll see that it has a very high threshold for removal through a judge, and the circumstances is not mental health. It's based on risk of violence. So they really got into the nitty gritty on what it means to temporarily take that firearm away.
Are they like a jury? Do they all have to agree on this, or is it majority? How does that work?
So for the most part, they were able to find consensus on all of those. One of them that did come to the table, of course, was permitting. I think it was 5 or 8 out of the 11 people who supported it. I kind of forget. And so there wasn't necessarily full consensus, but they all agreed to upload it online. So we wanted to give voice to the rest of Tennesseans, right? We wanted maximal impact and making sure everyone saw themselves in these proposals. So we uploaded them online. 30,000 Tennesseans from across the state weighed in on them, every county, and supported 5 of those. One of those was not the permanent one, but to the points of the group, they knew that there was opportunity that maybe more people did agree with it, so they were willing to put their own beliefs aside to say, hey, let's see how the rest of Tennesseans think about that. The permanent one did not get majority support in that case. However, those 5, including the temporary removal, did, and they took those proposals to lawmakers. One of them has passed into law, firearm safety education in public schools. So what you see is this through line to not just having a conversation, but real everyday citizens showing up to impact what's happening in their community.
Do you think that changed them, though? Do you think that having that experience has affected their core at all, knowing that they can speak to the other side?
I don't think you'll find a single one of them who has said that that has not changed their perspective or outlook. You know, these are people who would have likely never otherwise interacted in life, and they'll acknowledge that. You know, you have someone from rural Appalachia who hunts, who's now they say they're best friends with, you know, the teenager who lost her friend to gun violence, and they often bring those people's stories to their own communities and sharing it with their friends and their leadership circles. And so it's very much impacted their everyday lives, and they've brought their stories to their communities because of that impact, I think.
So this starts fires as it spreads out and people take it with them. Have you had any groups? We'll talk about Wisconsin in just a moment, too, because you had some successes there as well. Have you all had groups, though, that you locked in a room and, boy, they just wouldn't agree?
I would say, to an extent, that's every group. You're not going to agree on everything, nor... It may sound pretty the way I say it, but it's definitely not easy. These conversations had contentious moments, moments that required a lot of progress to make understanding or to find common ground. So it wasn't easy.
But how did you reach that common ground? Because that's the line that a lot of magic. People can't get across.
Yeah, I think the word is creativity. We get stuck on these wedge solutions, and we miss a lot of opportunity for real practical solutions in between. They're not always sexy, the real solutions, but they're also not newsworthy either, which is why we're not hearing about them much or seeing lawmakers promote them, because it doesn't meet their agenda, right? It's not what's gonna get them reelected. And so we often don't hear about the practical solutions that are gonna impact us. And that's the problem. That's what we're here to expose, is that there is a lot of common understanding across issues. And we're going to bring that work to Texas, too. We did a study recently that exposed a lot of that common ground across issues, from education to healthcare. You know, one of those, and talking about, since we're currently talking about guns, was we tested that temporary removal policy here, and 80% of Texans supported it. You know, but we also tested public safety at a more local level in Austin to see, you know, if there's a difference between state and local. And 87% people support the electric grid, paying more into the electric grid to improve it, even if it's going to require more cost on your bill for the near term. And then 74% support an improvement plan from Austin Police Department to increase staffing, you know, a dedicated plan to address their staffing shortage and crisis. And so there's a lot of common ground that we can act upon if we give a little bit more attention to it.
Jason mentioned Wisconsin. You left Tennessee, went to Wisconsin. I think that's still underway, isn't it, up there?
Wisconsin is still underway. There is an active session there right now, and one of their
legislative session.
Yeah. Yes, and one of their proposals is to extend Medicaid postpartum from 60 days to a year. It's something that 48 states have, including Texas, and Wisconsin and Arkansas are the two outliers on that proposal, and it's being held up by their House Speaker. And so that group has really made some headway in coalescing conservatives and Democrats, both lawmakers and organizations alike, to make headway on this bill. And so we're hopeful that they'll get the outcome that they're hoping for.
So what's the idea for Texas? Because Tennessee worked out well. Wisconsin is on the right track, it sounds like. And you guys are coming into the devil's den now of Texas.
But every place says that, don't they? I mean, like...
Yeah, but Texas is the biggest.
Yeah, but when we first talked about this, you and I, we were like, oh, I don't know, they're pretty polarized here. But don't they say that everywhere?
I think, depending on who you're asking, they'll definitely say that. And we're no... we don't fear away or shy away from hard topics. We started with guns. We moved on to abortion. None of that was easy. And so we said, how can we make it harder on ourselves? And we said, let's go to Texas.
So what are you going to do in Texas then? What's happening in Texas then? What are the topics and when does it start?
So the first topic's going to be healthcare. You know, well, let's backtrack a little. It's impossible, or not impossible, it's going to be really hard to advanced solutions when Texans don't realize how much common ground we share, right? And so just 2 weeks ago, we released some studies and some polling to help Texans realize how much we actually have in common. You know, I mentioned a couple of those policy proposals, but there's so much from, you know, in the healthcare space. There's an opportunity to allow licensed counselors from out of state to come provide mental health support to Texans, you know. There's a policy option. You could allow pharmacists to treat everyday symptoms like the flu, ear infections, or, you know, sore throats
without having to go to the doctor.
And these aren't necessarily all things we're going to focus on, but we wanted to show citizens that here's some practical things that we can help advance and wedge issues. You know, there's a lot of wedge issues that do have maximum or majority support that we're going to help citizens advance as well. We're looking at where's there a will, and then we're going to give citizens the tools to kind of solve that.
When does that begin?
That's going to begin this fall, and we're starting with healthcare. We saw that healthcare was among the top priority issues for Texans, and also an area where there was a lapse in what, you know, solutions that were possible versus the amount of tension lawmakers have given to those solutions. And so that's where we're in the process of now of, you know, finding the people to bring to the table who are going to bring that lived experience and professional experience to inform these policies. We're working with experts to understand the potential policy solutions. And then the ultimate goal, again, is always to bring as many Texans as possible into the fold. We want hundreds of thousands of people weighing in on these. And so we're also, you know, using technology to our advantage to get all of that feedback and make sure that every Texan has a chance to weigh in on these. So healthcare will be first. We're looking at a few more solution sessions, you know, within the next 6 months. We're still working on what those will be, getting feedback from citizens, experts, seeing what lawmakers are doing to understand, you know, what issue will be after that.
And that's a good issue to pick. A lot of Texans, Texas has a real problem with medical debt, more so than other states. Texas, of course, by far leads the country in the number of uninsured people who just don't have any medical insurance. So a good topic to start off with for sure. How, though, do you get through? It's one thing to get, you know, some people in a room to agree, even if they have very divergent views. How do you get it before legislators, though, and actually get those legislators to take it up and possibly work across the aisle in a time when that's considered a sin? And I mean, especially now as we record this, there's a lot of Democrats who are out of the state to break quorum to keep the Republicans from going forward with this very controversial redistricting plan. There's a huge battles going on right now between these parties, a lot of enmity, a lot of bad blood between them. How do you get them to put that aside and to stop necessarily listening to their donors and their most crazed supporters and actually do the work that takes them more toward the middle?
That is a great question. It depends on what. It's all in the citizens' hands. You know, I'll give you some examples. In Tennessee, we asked the citizens the very question, how do you want to get this into lawmakers' hands? And they ended up arranging what they called a solution reveal and brought those solutions they created to lawmakers on the first day of their legislative session in 2024 and welcome them all to the auditorium, you know, in within the Capitol, just steps away from most people's doors to present it to them. And a few of the people in that room are some of those who voted in favor of the bill that ultimately passed. Now, the room also wasn't packed, you know, and many lawmakers didn't show up, and that was captured too on, you know, in the media we welcome to the room and the social media we share, and just holding leaders accountable to being there for the people. And in Wisconsin, that looked very different. Theirs has been heavily on social media, you know, around Mother's Day, for example. They created a social media campaign to rally mothers around a hashtag to post about the importance of this across the aisle. And this was one of our, you know, pro-life participants and pro-choice participants who came together to do this together because they both felt empowered by the policies they created. And so every, I think, state and every issue is going to have their different approach. Now, to your point, though, how do you really hold lawmakers accountable to maybe even some of these more wedge things is we need everyday people to show up more. In the primaries especially, people have to realize that solutions are possible. We're giving them the tools to understand that. And we're also going to give them the tools closer to the primary to recognize who are these lawmakers who are solving problems across the aisle versus those who are stoking division. We're going to give them all the tools and we're going to make it as easy as possible. But there's also the importance of holding them accountable to showing up in the primaries, which to your point is very low turnout, very high stakes.
Yeah.
And so,
especially in Texas, we talk about all these safe seats, and that's what, you know, Republicans want to draw some more of those safe seats for Congress and take them away from Democrats, which, you know, to both parties, a safe seat sounds great. To voters, though, you know, and a lot of voters cheer this on because that's their tribe pushing for it. But what they don't realize, perhaps, is it takes the voter's voice away. If that's a safe seat, that person no longer has to be accountable really to anybody outside of their party. And all it comes down to is every primary is that incumbent and probably somebody further to the extreme taking them on their own party. And once that primary is decided by a handful of voters, because nobody shows up to primaries, that's it. There's no general election to be had because the other party can't even compete into, in that district.
So for the Texas effort you guys are starting here, is this a temporary thing? Are you going to another state afterwards, or are you going to try to sustain this here in the state?
We are going to try to sustain it in this state. You know, we originally started in Tennessee and then went to Wisconsin, and we realized through all these learnings, we operate in a startup mode, and we're constantly iterating our work to make maximum impact. And we realized through all of that, how do we consolidate everything that we've learned and done to make the most impact? And we've decided that going to one state and bringing all of our resources to a state that impacts what happens not only in our country but across the world is a great place to start. Texas is also a place that's very independent and leads the way on many things, and so we're hoping that we can rally citizens to lead the way on moving our country back to serving the will of the people.
You mentioned the other leg of this, which is holding lawmakers accountable. It's not just about, hey, let's get people to decide on some solutions, present them to lawmakers, and hope for the best. You're actually also, you know, showing who's working to make solutions and who's not. And you all keep a list of this, and this is AI sort of analyzing, you know, who are the bomb throwers, who are the bridge builders. And how do you do this? So do you put this out? Can people see this? Is it a once a week, once a month, once a year?
So I think you're referring to our Builders Power Rankings, which is a pilot we launched ahead of the November elections last year, about 4 weeks leading up to it. It was a weekly ranking of our congressional lawmakers based on how much they're solving problems across the aisle for the people and versus stoking division. So,
and I can see this on your website? Or
yeah, you can see this on our website, buildersmovement.org, and you'll find in the drop-down menu, Builders Power Rankings, and you can go explore it.
Can you name some names?
I mean, is this just for this week?
This is, so this, we piloted it for 4 weeks up to the election, and we wanted to see how we can iterate that coming to Texas. And so we're working on seeing how we can modify it with all the feedback we received. It did really well. 250,000 people leveraged the tool in a 4 week span of time. That felt really, you know, promising for us. And so we are working to understand how to bring that to Texas in some sort of fashion. We're not sure who will rank yet or what that'll be, but rest assured we will. You know, so but what happened there, you know, you ask us to name, you know, I looked up Texas before I came on this. He's looking at my little study sheet, and you know, on the builder side, people who kind of showed up week to week, and this was only week to week, you know, we don't believe that people are irredeemable, nor do we think that they're always perfect. And, you know, so there's
good
a sense
of here. Listen to this.
Exactly. Life advice for everyone.
Can I have your sheet so I can take notes?
Yeah, exactly. If you show up on the divider list, I'll let you. Maybe should we rank media? Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Rank this podcast.
It's possible. Builder,
then I'll never join this podcast again. But yeah, you know, Colin Allred had made that builders list 2 weeks in a row. On the, these are just Texas based.
When
and
he
again,
was in Congress.
When he was in Congress. And to be very clear, we had, this was partisan agnostic. We ranked the top five Democrats and Republicans and the bottom five so that people could get a clear picture of their own sides and the other side. So, you know, I'm gonna name a couple names, but if you look at the list, you'll kind of understand the bigger picture. On the divider list, we had Lance Gooden and Lloyd Doggett. And so, we opened that up to the public, you know, a Democrat and a Republican who ended up in Texas on the dividers list. And sometimes they weren't on it, right? They moved off the list or they could move back on. But the point was to help people get a snapshot of how their leaders are serving them and the fact and give also lawmakers the encouragement that they're not always going to be on this list or they may on either side of the list, you know, so to hold them accountable to doing better and seeing how they can serve people a little bit better.
Here's my last question for you, Tori. You've had a career in journalism, you had a career in politics, and now you're trying to build bridges here. Can you explain that journey and why you decided to leave each of those and how you arrived here?
Can anyone explain their journeys?
I can.
No, I'm
you
kidding.
Knew at this point in life, though, this is where you needed to be.
Yeah, so I grew up in a military family. I say military, federal law enforcement, a little bit of mix of everything through my dad. And so I was born in Texas, San Antonio. My dad's from Texas, his grandpa, they all served as law enforcement officers in San Antonio. And you know, as his career developed, it took us all across the country, Arizona, California, Virginia. And every time I moved around, it required me to meet new people and make new friends. And the only way to do that was to learn about new people and, you know, be curious and compassionate about things that I didn't know about. And so I've always had a love for and curiosity for people and community. I think I joined news for that reason. I started as a broadcast journalist first in Lubbock, Texas, and then down at KVU, your ABC, your sister station.
In Austin.
And through that experience, I loved connecting with the community and just always giving voice to different people and different sides and just hearing and listening. And then, you know, for various reasons, I ultimately left news and ended up working for Beto O'Rourke's gubernatorial campaign. And at the end of that campaign, you know, when it ended and I was looking at what's next after his loss, I reflected on all the things I experienced in life and I realized that nobody was listening anymore. Through everything I was doing in news and even what I saw on the campaign trail on both sides, I felt like there was a lack of compassion and listening. And I too stumbled upon builders. We used to be called Starts With Us, and it fell into my lap and it immediately resonated with me as something that was gonna, you know, make an impact and with the leaders, you know, involved. It feels very pie in the hot, the Scott, pie in the sky?
Pie in the sky.
Pie in the sky. Yeah.
You want to say high in the sky,
in
but
the
it's
sky.
Pie.
It's not
pie
that
that's
one.
High in the sky.
It's not,
I don't
the,
know.
It's not the latter. It is right. The first pie in the sky. But I saw all the leaders who had signed on to this across the aisle. And I knew it was a true initiative to bridge divides and that was going to have some of the power to do it. And that's ultimately what got me here today. And I've been here 3 years and it's
everything we're doing feels very important.
So let's finish. I think you're right. Let's finish this with how this organization started. Then it's about people, and so people may have been listening to all of this and they think, that sounds great. I want to be part of that. Or that sounds great. I want to be in that room so that I can make sure that my viewpoint or, you know, my ideology is represented when people are talking about these things, because I feel a way about this. How does somebody get in these rooms? How do they get involved? How do they know what you all are doing and become part of it?
The easiest way is to just go to builderstx.org to understand, you know, how you want to get involved, whether you just want to work on yourself and improve how you show up every day. We have skills and tools for that. That's our newsletter. That's our social media. If you want to be at the table having these conversations, you know, write to us. If it's healthcare is the first one, but there's many more sessions to come. If you feel like you have the life experiences to bring, you know, we can't have everyone at that initial table, but we are going to be collecting that feedback and welcoming everyone in different ways to the table. So sign up and stay along with that journey.
And then I can be maybe one of those hundreds of thousands at least who gets to vote on this stuff
exactly.
When the people in the room come up with stuff.
But more so than vote, you know, that's what we did in the past, but we want to make this even more integrative voices. So we want to use, potentially we're exploring it right now. And so we'll see, you know, what comes once we hit this first session, but how do we use technology to garner more actual feedback that those citizens can take to build those solutions, right? So we want to move beyond just them voting and making sure that we can collect feedback from the masses and make sure those proposals are reflected of that.
So even if I don't get in the room, I can get my idea.
We want to make sure, make sure that everyone has the opportunity. And it's low, again, if you're you know, sitting in your living room getting ready for breakfast, we want you to be able to quickly look in. This is important to you. We want you to be able to submit and weigh in from the comfort of your home, but making you feel empowered that you have a voice in this state. And so also, this is not just a call for citizens. This is a call for lawmakers. We want all lawmakers to come to the table to be builders. You know, this is only going to work when we're all in partnership with this together. So this is a call to lawmakers to be a part of this and to show up as a builder. And this is a call to media to give more voice to those who are solving problems in the community and give more voice to this initiative. So honestly, I'm so grateful that y'all found the space for that.
We're finally doing our part, which is
amazing. Thank you so much.
5 years in, but it's taken a minute.
That's where it started, right? Didn't we say that's where it all started?
It had to land in our lap, but here we are. So let's do this. Let's circle back when these people come up with a proposal.
Absolutely.
And let's go through these proposals and maybe encourage our listeners and viewers
and
to be part of this process as well.
Yeah, and lawmakers too. How can people find you on social media? You already have a good following.
Yeah, we have so Builders TX is our new Texas page. So if you really want to be immersed in Texas, all things Texas, Builders TX on Instagram. We also have a national Builders page. So at Builders Movement, you'll find us.
And again, they are online at builderstx.org. More to come on this. We'll have you back and we'll go through some of these proposals that they come up with here in Texas. So, you know, stay tuned for that. And, vote in your primaries. You know, Texas is one of those states where you can show up to either primary, Democrat or Republican. You don't have to be something ahead of time. You can only vote in one of those two, but you can show up and you can vote. And, you know, right now it's a handful of people who are picking a lot of our legislators.
Oh, absolutely. And Tori, congratulations. I mentioned that to Daniel earlier in the episode too, but the fact that there's somebody doing something constructive rather than destructive and there's money behind it, there are big names behind it, and there's messaging like you provided here today.
And passion
And passion too.
Not easy, but worthwhile.
Well,
for sure.
It's fantastic. So thank you so much for the time. And like Jason said, we will reconnect.
You make me wonder what we're going to do after, you know, broadcast someday.
Hey,
have you thought about that
knows?
Yet?
No, hopefully I'll have another few minutes, but who knows?
I still don't know, you know?
I'm just feeling my way
through this. Everyone's just making their way through life.
All right, absolutely.
Tori, thank you. This is excellent.
Thank you.
And a special shout out also to White Rock Brewing Company, west side of downtown Dallas. You want another pint already, man? You ready?
I'm getting there. And you know, we should have this one on the patio. Do you know that they added, this is brilliant, they added air conditioning now to their closed-in patio area.
It's very Texas.
In Texas, you got to have AC on the patio, too. You can't just leave it open. We barely get the kind of weather for that.
Thanks so much for listening and watching. We'll see you next week.